In past generations, families and extended families most often lived in the same town, even in the same neighborhood. Life was simpler, as aunts, uncles, grandparents, and even in-laws were almost always available for, well, not only physical assistance, but for parenting advice and accountability. In other words, parents worked with a tag team when raising their kids. It would be unheard of to hire a parent coach, perhaps even laughable. But today, times have changed, and rather than laughable, many families say finding the right parent coach is a necessity. We'll take a look under the parent coaching hood today on License to Parent. And if this is your first time to discover License to Parent, welcome. We are coming to you from the License to Parent studios, which overlook a beautiful horse pasture at Shepherd's Hill Academy, which is a year-long Christ-centered residential program for troubled teens located in the mountains of North Georgia, just north of Atlanta. Now, License to Parent is the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, not the only outreach, though, and it's our goal to take what we learn inside the gates, outside the gates, in order to equip you to be the type of parent God designed you to be. In short, to renew your license to parent. Our host is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill, Trace Embry, and I'm Rich Rozzle, mild-mannered parent of five. And, Trace, I've had a lot of people, I guess, help me in my parenting endeavor over the years, but I've never hired a parenting coach. I've never paid anyone to help me. But you see this new parent coaching model as being the wave of the future, don't you?
Well, I wish I could say I didn't see it as a wave of the future, but I think it, you know, for all the reasons you mentioned and more, that we're going to see parent coaching more and more as a common component to helping not just struggling parents, but maybe even new parents with their new and struggling offspring.
This is something, by the way, this parent coaching that Shepherd's Hill is involved in as well, right?
Yeah. It's relatively new to us, but you know Shepherd's Hill was not the first to offer parent coaching, not by a long shot. It's been around for many, many years now. I think we're actually late bloomers in throwing our hat in the parent coaching ring. Because when I first heard about it years ago, I remember thinking, surely not. I mean, this just can't be. But our culture, through digital technology and the like, has so declined that we felt parent coaching could very well be a way to help bring parents to a place where they can actually glean some one-on-one benefits from what we know here at Shepherd's Hill and employ them in their situations at home. And this is especially beneficial for those families who could never consider residential care as an option for their kids for the mere fact that it's so cost prohibitive.
And we've talked about family coaching, from the outside several times in the past on Licensed to Parent. We've certainly referred to it and, in fact, encouraged people if they want to get one-on-one parenting help to contact us. But we thought we would go straight to the source today.
That's right.
And we have invited Vicky Piazzi, who is the Director of Family Coaching at Shepherd's Hill Academy since its inception in 2013, to be our guest. Now, Vicky is also married and has, in fact, a teenage son and a teenage daughter, so she both lives this and teaches it. So got it covered on all sides.
Absolutely.
Vicky, welcome to Licensed to Parent.
Thank you so much.
Vicky, when someone asks you about parent coaching, what the purpose of coaching is, what exactly do you tell them?
Well, I tell them that it's a relationship that's designed to facilitate the creation and development of parenting goals. And then we develop and carry out a strategic plan to achieve those goals.
And how do you actually help parents set goals for their kids? And by what standard, what point of reference do you encourage parents to use to set their goals?
Yeah, we tell them right away, you know, that this is a Christian facility, and this is, you know, we're going to base our disciplinary and tactics and strategies on God's word and what he would endorse.
And apply them to 21st century culture.
Which is like hard because they've forgotten so much of their own rights.
Boy, did they.
I'm curious, since we opened the program talking about parent coaching being a new thing, how did Shepherd's Hill get started in this? I mean, was this something where you set out and said, you know, other people are doing this, we're going to start doing it? Or was it a response to a lot of calls from parents saying, could you just answer a question for me? I just need to talk to somebody.
That question might be better directed to me because with all the conferences I attend every year and life coaching, other kinds of coaching, all kinds of coaching, you know, life coaching, but parent coaching in particular, it kept coming up. And I asked myself, you know, when we turn away about 300, forced to turn away, about 300 prospective students a month at Shepherd's Hill, I thought to myself, man, there's got to be a way that we can help these parents. And so I took a few of these classes. And I started seeing what these people actually do. And I said, you know, we need to do this. And I got with Vicki, who at the time didn't have as many responsibilities as she does now here at the facility, to just take it and go with it. And so that's kind of how it got started.
Now, Vicki, you were working with Shepherd's Hill already as part of the equine program, right?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yep.
So how was it to jump to dealing with people instead of horses?
Well, I did deal with people like in groups with the horses.
There's more legs involved.
Yeah. And there's times when I'm talking to parents that I'm thinking about an interaction with a horse, because really, not to get onto that soapbox, but the equine therapy is so much like parenting. So it's hard to not use some of that.
Is it true that you can lead a parent to water, but you can't make them drink?
Yes.
I was about to say, I think actually that is true, by the way, though, because you can offer guidance and coaching to parents, but that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to follow through, right?
Right, right. So one of the things we do when I'm talking to parents is ask them, you know, how serious are you about making changes in the way you do things? And I even ask them to kind of put it on a scale, so that from 1 to 10, you know, so I know, are they going to do the work in between? Because it's not something that they just talk to me once a week or whatever and then do nothing all week. They have to follow through. And that's the difference between coaching and counseling, is that my job is to come alongside and ask them the next week, you know, how did things go this week? Did you do what you said you were going to do?
Vicki, what's a typical recipient of parent coaching? What kind of issues are they struggling with?
Struggling with the kids being either disrespectful but still following rules. You know, they're not mm-hmm. running away from home all the time. People that have kids that are struggling academically, of doing their homework, not necessarily that they mm-hmm. can't do it, but that they're refusing to do it, and just disciplinary issues.
The order and the rule of the home.
Yeah, yeah, but not too extreme. I mean, mm-hmm. I have to stress that just because we do get a lot of calls for that, and we can't do what a residential program will do mm-hmm. over the phone once a week yeah. or through Skype, you know. But there are a lot of people out there who are just saying, you know what, how do I handle this? You know, my kid won't do what I'm asking. He'll ignore me and just go upstairs. But other times he will, you know. So they're just looking for ideas on discipline. Or they've come to the end of their rope, or they're trying things, but they're really not trying big enough things.
Yeah, effective things.
Yeah, like they think, well, just saying no is enough. Mm-hmm. You know, so they just need some direction in that.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have a troubled teen by the name of Trace, who's here with us today. And we need to take a break on Licensed to Parent, but when we come back, I was wondering if you might walk us through, at least in brief, what a typical conversation might look like between a coach and the parent calling in. So we'll take a brief break. Our guest today is the Director of Family Coaching here at Shepherd's Hill Academy, Vicki Piazzi, and we are going to continue our conversation. This is Licensed to Parent. You can find out more about the Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching online at helpmytroubledteen.org/coaching. Again, helpmytroubledteen.org/coaching, and you can find us online at licensedtoparent.org. Back with more conversation in a moment.
Being a teen in today's culture is tough. Being a parent of a troubled teen can be even tougher. If you feel like pulling your hair out, or worse, your family may be in crisis. Sometimes we make light of our family situations to help us deal with them, but that really doesn't fix the underlying problems. Shepherd's Hill Academy is here to help find the root of the problem, as well as healing and hope. But if residential care is not a fit for you, Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching can provide you with decades of experience from the front lines to help you overcome the challenges your family is facing. And best of all, we meet with you where you are with simple phone calls. Family Coaching is a dynamic partnership that helps you discern God's will and reach goals for your family that are biblical. Basically, live the life your family was designed for, and that's no joke. Learn more at helpmytroubledteen.org/coaching.
This is Ken Ham, President and CEO of Answers in Genesis and the Creation Museum, and I just want to say how much I appreciate Licensed to Parent broadcast. I am so thrilled to know that there are those out there who are standing on the authority of God's Word in this age of compromise, but teaching parents how to build their thinking on the Word of God and to pass on that spiritual legacy to the next generation. So often we see that spiritual legacy being lost, and we need more people listening to broadcasts like Licensed to Parent so that they will know how to pass on that spiritual legacy to the next generation.
With the generous gifts from people just like you, we're able to provide parents with practical insights to navigate the challenges families face in today's culture, as well as helping troubled teens in our year-long residential program. To learn more and to donate, visit LicensedToParent.org.
Welcome back. You are listening to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, and we are talking today about family coaching with our head of family coaching, Vicki Piazzi. She's the head of family coaching at Shepherd's Hill Academy, that is. And Vicki, right before the break, I set it up that I have a troubled teen who goes by the name of Trace. He's sitting here in the room with us. He's 17 years old. His body is covered with tattoos, and he is hooked on polka music, but that's all he listens to on his iPod. It's filled with that, but anyway, no. Let's say, though, that I do have a troubled teen named Trace, who's 17, and I call in and I say, Vicki, I'm really having trouble here. My son, Trace, will not abide by the rules of the house. He will not obey. We tell him, you know, to do something, we say we need you to do this, and he just ignores us. I mean, he's living under our roof. He's not yet an adult. What can we do? How would you, as the coach, advise me?
Well, first we would, you know, kind of go through some background things to make sure, you know, if he has any diagnosis, you know, things like that, that would make a difference.
Know the factors, okay.
Yeah. And then we would go through, like, well, what are your family values? To give them more of a structure to be asking things of their students, I was going to say, their child, you know, because that's important. If you're not having a picture of how God wants a family to run, then it kind of starts being willy-nilly, like, well, sometimes you ask this of them, sometimes you don't. So what are your core values in your family? And then how do we expect our kids to behave for that? And then what have you tried?
Okay, so you are at this point helping the family perhaps put down on paper what they may have just had in their head for a while. This is what the framework is under which we operate. So you're putting a structure to it in this conversation.
Right, okay. Right. That's a good way to explain it.
And you're
that.
Kind of an accountability partner for that parent, basically, right?
Yeah. So it's important to have that so that you can go back to it. You know, if you have nothing to go back to, like a point of reference, then things don't make as much sense.
Sure.
So especially if you have a teenager and they're kind of aware of what your family stands for, it helps them to know why they need to follow instructions right away. Then we would ask them, you know, what are you asking of your child and how are you asking it?
Are you finding, by the way, that parents are effectively asking or telling that communication is going the right way? I found that parents of young children in particular do not necessarily tell the child what they need done. They get into this long, you know, drawn out thing where they're saying, don't you think it would be a good idea? No, mommy.
Right. It's more like a request.
Yeah. And as opposed to, here's what you need to do now.
Right.
So is that coming up in some of these conversations with parents of teens that you have to give them guidance as to how to communicate this?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely that. They don't feel like they can make it. It's more of a request. not a
command.
Yeah.
Or an expectation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Expectation's probably good, because even the word command makes parents feel like they don't have the right to command, you know, but they do.
But they absolutely do.
And so a lot of it is just kind of educating them on the fact that they have a right to pick up their phone and look in it. You know, I have a lot of parents that are like, well, that would be invasion of privacy. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's you need to do that.
Right.
So you know what's going on, but even more so, let him know that you're doing that.
That's indicative of how parents, not just their kids, but how parents have been influenced by the culture rather than Scripture. I mean, just look at Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. You'll find out that we not only have the right, we have the responsibility to check in on our kids and protect them first and foremost. And we have to apply the digital age to what Scripture has already said about raising kids.
Right.
For someone, you know, looking for a parent coach, what age children are we looking to coach parents through? Will we do 2- to 3-year-olds?
Yeah. Well,
I know.
Speaking to the 2- to 3-year-olds, but yeah, you're talk to the parents of the youngest child, you know, because they're being exposed to so much. Even now, I mean, the littlest kids are getting addicted to their mom's cell phone.
Yeah.
You know, the cell phones have become the babysitter.
Yeah, I think it was 90% of kids at 2 years old already have a digital history.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And again, parents don't realize how they are retarding their child's development by putting them in front of that iPad at that
or
age.
Or in front of the TV.
Or in front of the TV. I'm scientists say, you know, American Academy of Pediatrics says zero TV for kids 2 and under, and very limited 2 to 5 because of what it does to the brain circuitry.
I want to underscore something that you all just said, and that is that even though Shepherd's Hill Academy is designed to help teens in crisis, the outreach that we do through License to Parent, the outreach we do through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, we're trying to be proactive and help families build the right structure. We want to restore the license to parent here on the program so that they don't need residential care for their teens by the time their kids get to there. So again, while traditionally in family coaching you have dealt with teens, you are opening it up for parents of young children too. If they need or just want to run something past you, they are free to call. They don't have to be only families with teenagers.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The sooner you get them, the better off you're going to be. I mean, if you can train that child at a young age, you know, 1, 2 years old or younger, by the time they become teenagers, the seeds you've planted and cultivated along the way pulls out a lot of those weeds that are going to start popping up in teen years.
Mm. Yeah. It's good to have those family values in place then. You know, before you even have your kids to be talking as a couple about what do you, you know, what God wants that to look like.
So how can a parent in California or New York actually be helped by a coach in Georgia?
Oh, that's easy because we have technology that we want to use positively.
Yes.
Because it just seems like, you know, if it's being used negatively, let's make some positive use out of it. So we do that. We can do it over the phone, but we also use Skype. So if I'm working, sometimes I'll work with the student, and it's easier on Skype to see body language and expression. So that helps a lot, and that you can do, you know, from anywhere.
Sure. In the opening, Rich talked about family and extended family offering counsel or coaching to parents who are more readily accessible because of their immediate proximity. Why couldn't they offer the same counsel and coaching by phone? Why wouldn't parents go to their parents or grandparents or brothers and sisters in California or New York and say, hey, this is what Junior's doing. Can I Skype with you to get your counsel on that? Rather than paying for it, you know, to Shepherd's Hill.
You know what? I'm not really sure.
I actually have a thought on that.
Okay.
We have lost the mentoring capacity that perhaps previous generations had.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right.
You know, I learned by osmosis how to parent my kids by watching how my parents trained me, but we didn't sit down and really analyze what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Vicky and Mitch and some of the, you know, folks who work in this field, they have analyzed it. They have looked at it. And especially with Shepherd's Hill, you've got the proving ground
right
here where you can see what has worked and what hasn't worked.
Yeah.
So in this case, you're able to get a more reliable answer, I think.
Not to mention,
but that's not to say that families should not contact the other family members because they have a vested interest in success here. It's just they may not be able to give the most qualified response.
Yeah, I would say they should be doing this in conjunction with any coaching that a place like Shepherd's Hill would offer. I mean, but there's also the idea of not all our family members are coming across from a biblical worldview. You know, and
that's
we're very much a stickler on that. And that's, we know that, as you said, Rich, you know, Shepherd's Hill being the proving ground, we know that's what's healing our kids. There's a skill level of counseling and involved in coaching that maybe other extended family don't have. Experience. But there's the emotional involvement, too. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of grandparents, aunts and uncles, they don't live with Junior. And so they don't see the hell that some of these kids are putting their families through, and they want to be Junior's best friend too.
Sure.
And they want to be the cool uncle or the cool grandparent or whatever. And then there's the, you know, which boils down to objectivity. You know, sometimes family members just aren't as objective as someone from the outside who does this for a living, like Vicki, can offer a family.
Yeah, I think that's really a good point, is the emotional impact that family has. Like, if they don't have a biblical perspective, or if they just don't, you know, they don't believe in spanking, or they, you know, it could be any number of things. But another thing is also that, how often do you get hold of people anymore these days where you actually do talk to your family members?
Yeah, the intimacy levels kind of went away,
yeah,
hadn't it?
And as parents, we want things right away. And a lot of times, too, when you get the first call, it's because something bad just happened.
Yeah.
And then you set up the next call, and the parents are thinking, well, I may not need it now because we got over that.
And then there's the factor they don't want their extended family to know how they're struggling.
Right. Right. They want to look like they are successful parents.
Ozzie and Harriet.
In the eyes of their parents and whatnot.
Yeah.
Let me ask this to both of you, where our time is running short here, but I know there are those times, Vicki, when you're on the phone with somebody and you realize, you know, this family needs more help than just family coaching. When does a parent know, when does a coach know that coaching isn't enough and this family may need a full-blown therapy or residential care type of program? And Trace, obviously you jump in on this as well.
Yeah, I would say for me, I have experienced that through the coaching, and it'll be when something really comes to a big head, when they're trying and trying these different things and the parents are becoming so emotional that they can't really see straight anymore. And sometimes something really big will happen where the child will be putting himself in danger. And you don't want it to come to that.
Risk of physical harm to themselves or somebody else, something like that. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the biggest problems that none of us here at Shepherd's Hill has been able to really solve, or any other program from across the country has been able to solve yet, and that is the high cost of residential care. Because there are a lot of those 300 calls that we get every month that couldn't even afford family coaching, you know? Mm-hmm. And for those who can afford family coaching, there is a big jump from family coaching to residential care.
Sure.
Right.
And even those who were coaching, who we deep down know need residential care, we also deep down know, and sort of the parents, that outside of a miracle of God, and we've seen plenty of that happen, they're not going to get residential care. And so that's a question that we have yet to be able to really answer. Now, we've helped families get creative by getting extended families, their church families. Some parents have put on raffles and mortgaged their homes, refinanced their homes, all kinds of stuff, selling off the stocks, mm-hmm. and it's insanity what you got to go through. But these are some of the things that parents have to weigh out. And the option is, okay, you said pay me now or pay me later. How much is Junior going to cost us in legal fees, mm-hmm. in property damage, I hate to say this, but funeral costs? I mean, these are kids who are on their way to jail or the grave. And there's the loss of work that parents have to go through quite often because, you know, Junior doesn't want to go to school and he's tearing the house up. Mm-hmm. What do? You have to call in and say, I can't make it. My kid's going crazy.
Right.
You know, so there's a lot of issues there that we have yet to really figure out. And so I feel horrible for these kids, but I have to go back and say that our culture is fueling this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, our parents are allowing our kids to watch things like MTV and VH1 and BET, and they've got HBO in their homes. I mean, this is insanity. to allow this in their homes, not to mention the stuff that they're letting their kids have on their smartphones and, you know, on their desktops and things like that, unfiltered, no system of accountability. And so many parents letting their kids keep this stuff in the privacy of their own rooms, mm-hmm. where they're texting friends and sexting friends and email all hours of the night. And, you know, then you wonder, why is Junior rebelling against my standards? You know, parents too often are too trusting, but they have to remember, if I had access to all this stuff when I was their age, what would I be doing with it? You know, would I have turned out in a similar way? I have to say, right. I don't think I would have handled it real well.
Final thoughts about this new parent coaching paradigm. What have you gleaned in your 2 years with the Shepherd's Hill coaching that you would share with parents now if they're considering the need for this?
It's not anything to be ashamed of, because this time in our world is just so, yeah. So, I mean, I would just encourage them, if they're struggling at all, to consider it, to consider some, you know, open their mind to other options and try the other options to find out, you know, because kids will use, well, you know, I can call the police if you do this, or you can't. Research what your kids are saying, because, you know, you can, they don't have privacy. Right. Until
they're a kid.
Move out. Yeah,
I'm surprised the parents that don't realize that they think the world comes to an end when Junior calls Department of Children and Family Services. Mm-hmm. And I blow the lid off that by telling parents, you realize that 99% of kids who do that, you know, the organization has to come out. It's by law. They have to investigate. But 99% of the time, unless you've truly abused your child, they're going to tell Junior, straighten up, Mom and Dad, you're doing a great job. They're going to turn around and they're going to go home. But what parent wants to go through the humiliation, right. the time, the aggravation of having that right. happen? But I'm saying you may have to walk through that shadow of death and call Junior's bluff so that, you know, he can't use that thing against mm-hmm. you anymore.
Yeah. Well, we are out of time on today's broadcast. I wish that were not the case. We'll have to, I guess, revisit this subject many times
There's
down the road.
There's a lot more to say.
In fact, Mitch, one of your fellow parent coaches, was going to join us today, but his schedule didn't allow it, so there is more to talk about. Mm-hmm. Our guest on Licensed to Parent today has been Vicki Piezzi. She is the Director of Family Coaching at Shepherd's Hill Academy and has been since its inception in 2013. If you are interested in family coaching, if you'd like to find out more about the program, and even more importantly, if you need to connect with a family coach, you can do so on the Shepherd's Hill website. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org/coaching. Again, helpmytroubledteen.org/coaching. And you can learn more about Licensed to Parent and our outreach to troubled teens and their families at licensedtoparent.org. As we have said in the past, running a full-time residential program for teens and producing a national radio broadcast can be very costly. And in order to help families in all economic strata, we need your help. Your one-time or your monthly tax-deductible contribution to Licensed to Parent can help fund the Shepherd's Hill Scholarship Fund, which enables more families to benefit from our outreach. You can learn more and you can give today when you visit licensedtoparent.org. Along with Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you back again next time to renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. See you next time.